So as I sat down to write this morning's manuscript, the word tombs is the one that jumped out at me. It's a word that is just a little too fresh for me today. Yesterday, this community of faith stood among the tombs and graves of Westwood Cemetery to bury Christopher, one of our own. As I walked through the graveyard, my eyes scanned the manicured lawn, stared at the beautifully carved tombstones, and noticed that many of these graves are still visited. There is something very pristine and clean about many modern graveyards. We expect them to look like a cross between a golf course and a secluded public park. We want to know that this place, this sacred geography, is actually cared for and maintained. So as I passed by and read the surnames on the tombstones, noticing the Germans, the Italians, the Brits, and the occasional Korean and Chinese, my mind couldn't help but think about another 49 graves being filled this weekend. Last Sunday morning, as we worshiped together in this place, this piece of sacred geography, the news of the hate-filled terrorist attack at Pulse nightclub in Orlando was making itself known. By the time I started 9 a.m. worship, we heard rumors that there could be a dozen people dead. By the time I was in the middle of my sermon at the 10:30 service, that number was 50, with another 53 wounded. The vast majority of them were young, lesbian, gay, bi, or transgender. And the vast majority of them were like me, Latinos, Latinas, and people of color. They were there to experience Latin night, to hear bachata, reggaeton, and salsa, all the music that makes my hips sway and my feet move, even if I've never heard that song before. The Latin pulse is something we're just born with. And last Sunday morning, 49 pulses were cut short because of who they were, who they loved, and by the demons that fed one man's evil. So today there are 49 new graves in clean and pristine graveyards with Mexican, Puerto Rican, and Dominican surnames on the tombs. But the manicured and well-cared-for look that we know and expect is not where Jesus finds himself in today's gospel reading. Jesus has crossed the Sea of Galilee, heading to the other side where Gentiles live, to a place founded by Alexander the Great. Instead of synagogues, in the center of the city are giant temples dedicated to Greek and Roman gods. The fields outside aren't filled with sheep. They're filled with pigs. Jesus is out of his Jewish comfort zone, in the land of the others, and making waves in a place he shouldn't. He's going to meet and mingle with the wrong kind of people, and it's when he steps off the boat, setting his foot on the shore, he runs into this man from the tombs. Now, what kind of tombs does this man live in? I don't believe we're supposed to think he lives in the intentionally well-cared graveyards of today. What comes to mind is a graveyard that is dark, dank, and downright spooky. His tombs belong in some B-rated horror movie. And in many ways, this man does too. He comes to Jesus dirty, unkept, and totally naked. I imagine his skin is covered in dirt and grime, and broken chains serve as bracelets around his wrists. He lives where the dead live. He's surrounded by pigs, and he's tormented by unclean spirits. This man that Jesus encounters isn't just physically repulsive, but according to Jesus' own tradition, he's spiritually repulsive too. Once Jesus steps off the boat and sees this man, he knows all of that. He knows exactly who this man is and what Jesus is supposed to do. But before a word is said, before a conversation has started, and even before the man sees Jesus, Jesus orders those unclean spirits out. Now the man tries to get out of this. He tells Jesus to leave him alone. He doesn't even ask for healing. Instead, he asks to remain with his demons, to be alone, to be kept away from the community. The demons we see in Scripture are not just evil beings. They're more than B-movie terrors. They spend their time breaking the relationships between God and people. They want to keep their victims isolated and alone. And the only way to do that is to infect more than just individuals. These demons infect entire communities too. They make it so that the person who is different is sent to live chained and bound in the tombs. Jesus is doing more in this story than healing one man and destroying an almost comical amount of bacon. Jesus is changing the sacred geography of the land of the Gerasenes. The man who lived among the dead is told to go into the city of the living and tell God's story. He's heading home to a place full of different gods, different idols, and people so distracted by their busyness they can't even notice what God is doing. Jesus took a place of sacred difference, of tombs and cities, of relationships and isolation, and Jesus creates a new space for healing and connection. The land of the Gerasenes, the land of the Gentiles and the unclean, is given a new destiny and purpose. The manicured place of living is mixed with the dark and dank of the tombs. And that scares everyone. When Jesus set sail across the Sea of Galilee, he was on a journey of shouldn'ts. He shouldn't have gone, he shouldn't have stepped onto the shore, and he shouldn't have interacted with that unclean man in the tombs. But Jesus isn't about shouldn'ts. When he shows up, the sacred geography of every place changes. The places we claim to be cities of life and the places we claim to be cities of death, that difference is undone. All places are opportunities for life and all places are sacred to God. The inside-outsider narrative we set up is replaced with a narrative of God's desire for love and healing, for God's narrative of new life found in new and unexpected relationships. I don't know what the full response to the attack in Orlando should be. My heart is still too broken, too full of grief at the loss of my Latino and Latina sisters and brothers. But I do know that Jesus has changed the sacred geography of all places. Even a place where terrible things happen can be a place where life comes. Every shore, every field, every mountain, every country, and every city is called to be a place of healing. Jesus has already done the hard work of going where he shouldn't, going to the land of the others, eating and drinking with sinners, forgiving the sins of the unforgivable, and walking to die on the cross. Through Jesus, healing has already begun. We already know what Jesus has done. The question for us is just how much healing are we going to try to. Amen.